Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I am thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
In Exodus chapter 20, God gave us 10 great laws. They hold the keys to overcoming life's greatest challenges. Next on Daily in the Word, we'll study how to overcome the greatest challenges of our lives with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Often the most difficult and trying challenges of daily life are due to the fact that we're working against God's natural laws of life. We're working against the way He designed life to function rather than submitting to His laws. The keys to overcoming the greatest challenges we face are often found in submitting to God's ways. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study how to overcome the greatest challenges of life by keeping God's 10 great laws from Exodus chapter 20. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and we come to you with the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about our ministry, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion. You can also download Daily in the Word to take with you on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. Here's now Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges.
God has given commandments in His Word to be pillars which guide our everyday lives. And today we're going to learn that God has a great desire for each and every one of us to seek Him first, and to avoid any other idols or images that would detract us from worshiping Him with a pure heart. Thank you for tuning in today to Daily in the Word. We're going to learn how to keep our worship pure. And in this day of compromise and pluralism, when we hear so many people lifting up every religion, we're going to learn today that our God is worthy of our total worship. And I trust that you'll enjoy the broadcast and be strengthened in your faith today.
The first four commandments of the Ten Commandments show us how to love God and how to worship God with all of our heart, how to worship Him in truth and in purity. They show us that we as God's people must come to Him with a heart that is totally surrendered unto Him. Now, one of the most amazing thoughts to me when I study this part of the Bible is to think about this simple fact, that while God was giving these commandments to Moses, while Moses was up on the mount and God was literally writing out these commandments, the children of Israel were waiting for Moses and Aaron was superintending over them. And the Bible tells us that while Aaron was in charge for that moment, that the children of Israel created a golden calf and they began to worship this golden idol while Moses was talking with God at Mount Sinai. The commandment against idol worship was broken before the finger of God had even written out the commandment. You know what we can learn from that? We can learn that the human race is a depraved, fallen human race. that we are bent against God in our own selfish will. In fact, look at your notes and you'll see the story of which I'm speaking, Exodus 32:1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him, or we don't know where he is. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters. By the way, that thing of wearing earrings for the sons, they got that in Egypt. And so he says, You can break off the earrings and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after that he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse number 8 says, They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. They have sacrificed thereunto. They have said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And so get the picture, if you would. Moses is up with God, receiving the Ten Commandments. The second commandment is, Thou shalt make unto thee no graven image. While God's giving that commandment, they're over here making a graven image. And God is very clear in His Word that we should not make unto ourselves any graven image. Now, there's something about the nature of mankind that wants somehow, that desires to create an image that will represent God. It just seems like in the world, many people need some type of a tangible image or a picture that is their God or that represents the God that they worship. They have a strong desire for this. I mean, it's so strong that sometimes a light on the street can reflect onto a window of a car and it puts a reflection up to a wall. And people gather around and they say, look at the reflection on the wall. This must be a religious experience. This must be Jesus or Mary or something like this. And they so desire some kind of an emblem or a symbol that they literally will gather around an emblem like that. Well, over the years, many people have tried to capture the glory of our Creator with some kind of an imaginative picture of Him or some type of a representation of God. But you know, when people try to paint a picture of God or Jesus, when they make a sculpture of Him, many times all they really do is diminish who He really is. And that's why God said, don't make a graven image. Don't worship an image. Worship me in spirit and in truth. And many people today are trying to create an image of God, but in fact, that image is getting in the way of pure worship. You see, folks, this morning, our target, what we're trying to focus on today is on Jesus Christ. We don't want anything or anyone to get in the way of our target, which is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet many people have so much dilution and pollution in the way that they never really get saved. They never really see the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been some great artists who have painted pictures about Bible scenes. Michelangelo painted the picture, The Creation of Adam. It is a painting, he says, that communicates God's power. And yet many would say it missed God's love in the painting. Sometimes we see in children's books portrayals of Jesus, and they often make Jesus look very effeminate and very weak in those particular pictures. And I'm not saying it's a sin to try to create an image and tell a story, but we need to be very careful that we let our children know this is an artist's idea. No one knows exactly what this person looked like. Many people today wear a little crucifix on their necklace, and it has the cross, and it has Jesus on the cross. It shows that Jesus died for the sin, but it doesn't tell that Jesus rose again on the third day. And so all of these emblems and carvings and images, they tell a little bit of a story, but many times they get in the way of the whole story. And so we see in the Word of God, we're not to make a graven image, we want to be careful that nothing gets in the way of our worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, these attempts to create an image will bring about a misconstruing of who God is. Sometimes they will diminish who God is. And other times, people literally will take those pictures or those emblems and they will literally worship those emblems, those carvings, and those pictures. And so today, what we want to learn is how we can worship God without letting anything get in the way. Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor Chapel, I don't have any great desire to go home and go into my garage and carve out an idol and go worship the idol. All right, I understand that. No one here is planning to do that when you get home. But I think if you'll listen to these next few moments and study these verses with me, you're going to see that these verses go a lot deeper than what at first may appear. I think there are three ways that we can avoid, three ways that we can miss really worshiping God the way that we should. Let me talk to you today about how to worship God in purity and truth. First of all, we must worship God as He is. We must worship God as He is. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." This is the most repeated of all the commandments. God doesn't want anything or anyone substituting for His place. He wants us to worship Him as He is. Leviticus 19:4 says, "Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God." John 4:24 says that we are to worship God in spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." So over and over again, the Bible says, God doesn't want anybody or anything replacing Him. So notice in the first place, we are to honor Him above all others. We are to honor Him above all others. He said, "I don't want you making." The word "make" means to fashion or to produce. I don't want you making a graven image, an idol, or something that is hewn out of a quarry. God says, "I don't want you making anything that will replace me." We're to honor Him above all others. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 16 that we should not corrupt ourselves by making any type of a graven image. Not only are we to worship Him above all others, but secondly, we are to worship Him. We are to worship Him above all others. We are to worship God. Now, to worship God means to ascribe worth toward. It means to kiss toward. It means to say, "Lord, I love You. I value You." The Bible says in 1 John 5:21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Now, this morning we worshiped God when we sang. We worshiped God when we gave in the offering. We worshiped God when we opened up the Bible. Everything we're doing here today is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But idolatry will confuse the Creator with the creation. Idolatry is the worship of anything or anyone in the place of God. And what we learn in these first few verses is that God wants us to worship Him exclusively. He doesn't want to share us with someone or something else. He says in verse 5 that He is a jealous God. Now, one of the philosophies we learned about last week was the philosophy of pluralism. It is the concept that all the gods are about the same. It is the concept that says there are a number of worldviews, there are a number of God concepts, and they're all about the same. But God says no. He says, "I want you to worship Me above all the other gods. I don't want you to give credence to these other gods that are in the world." Now, throughout human history, there have been times when people have said, "Look, let's just try to find peace by saying that all the gods are about the same." Over in Rome, there's a building called the Pantheon. And the Pantheon, I think we have a picture of it this morning, was the God House of Rome. It was this building here is nearly 2,000 years old. In the Pantheon, they could worship Venus or Mars. They could worship any god that they wanted to bring into that God House. Now, how many of you understand the Apostle Paul was not going to worship Jesus in that house? Because Jesus is above all the gods. He is the preeminent one. And you see, when God says, "Don't make any graven image," He says, "I don't want to be on the shelf with all the other gods. I am the Creator God. I am above all of the other gods." And so if we're going to worship in purity, then we must worship God as He is. We are not today to worship God as we want Him to be. We are to worship God as He is. If we're going to worship God purely, secondly, we must not use God for what we want. We must worship God as He is, and we must not use God for what we want. Now, some people today, they'll worship God so long as things go their way. But God wants us to love Him and honor Him the way He is. We don't worship what should be used, and we don't use what should be worshiped. Notice that in your notes. We don't worship what should be used, and we don't use what should be worshiped. All right, let me give you an illustration. Concrete is great for making a sidewalk, but if someone makes an idol out of concrete, we're not going to worship it. Concrete should be used, not worshiped, right? We don't worship what should be used. But we also say here, we don't use what should be worshiped. In other words, we're not here to use God. We're not here to get God to give us favors. We are here to worship God for who He is. You see, there's something within us, if we're honest, there's something within us that sometimes wants to use God more than we want to worship God. And I think when we think about worship and the Ten Commandments today, we need to ask the question, why am I here? What do I want out of this? And there's nothing wrong with wanting God's blessing, but we need to say, God, You are God, and I love You no matter what. You see, that's what Daniel said when he was thrown into the fiery furnace. The Hebrew children stood there, and they said, our God will deliver us, but if not, we're still going to worship our God. We're going to be faithful to Him. Now, sometimes in our lives, we want God to do things for us. And as long as He's doing things for us, then we're going to do things for Him. We want Him to forgive our sins. We want Him to take us to heaven. We want Him to give us health. We want Him to bless our business. We want Him to give us sales. We want Him to protect our church. We want Him to protect our country. We want Him to do all of these things. And yet sometimes in our subconscious mind, we are simply using God. And idolatry is an attempt to put God at my disposal. Idolatry is an attempt, like someone who wants an idol on their dashboard. It's an attempt to say, God, I want You to do what I want You to do. And if we're not careful, sometimes we're actually trying to manipulate God rather than worshiping God. I heard about a police officer that went to an elementary school, and he was standing there in the playground, and a little girl came up to him, and she looked at him, she looked at his boots, and she said, are you a police officer? She was about 6 years old. He looked at her and said, yes, I am a police officer. She said, well, my mommy said that if I ever need help, that I'm supposed to ask a police officer. Is that right? He said, that's right. And he looked down at her, and then she kind of put her foot over towards him and said, would you be willing to help tie my shoe, please? Isn't it amazing how girls learn that at such a young age, too, like that? But you know, all of us are like that. All of us have that tendency to say, God, I want You to help me do this, 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 and this. And if You'll do these things for me, I might even come back to church. I might even stay faithful for You. But I want to tell you something. We're not here this morning to play let's make a deal with God. We are here to worship God as He is. Now, how do we do that? Just a couple quick thoughts. First of all, we need to remember that we're to pray in His name. When we come to God to worship Him and pray to Him, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name, first of all, because His name is authoritative. We're not praying to all of the gods out there. Sometimes in public venues, people will ask a Christian pastor to come and pray. And a few times people have said to me, we'd like to ask you, don't pray in Jesus' name. And I've said to them, you know, I am a Christian, and Christians pray in Jesus' name. If you want someone to not mention Jesus, then you must invite a Muslim to pray, or you must invite a Buddhist to pray. But I won't give you a plug nickel for a Christian who denies the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Why? Because it is an authoritative name. John 16:23. And in that day ye shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in My name, He will give it unto you. You see, Jesus' name is our authority. It's through Jesus that we have access to God in prayer. One man said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't happen. Now, that's a funny way to look at it, but in reality, something happens when people pray in Jesus' name. But you know, we pray in His name because there's authority in His name. And we pray in His name because of the sovereignty of His name. We're saying, Lord, we want You to answer this according to Your will. His name is authoritative. His name is sovereign. John 15:7. If ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now some of the prosperity teachers will say, ask what you want and it will be done. And they'll focus on a part of the verse. But look at the first part. It says, if we abide in Jesus and if His word abides in us. And we must recognize that God is sovereign and that we're not here to tell Him what to do for us. We are to ask Him according to His word and according to His will. Listen, there are some things I've prayed for that I'm glad God did not answer. God knew what I needed more than I knew what I needed. He's God, and we're not here to manipulate Him. We're here to worship Him. His name is authoritative. His will is sovereign. And thirdly, His ministry is to mediate. Jesus is the mediator. Now look in your notes there at 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. You see, thank God today that we as Bible-believing Christians have a high priest, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He is over the house of God, and we don't have to pray to priests or men, and we don't have to confess in a confessional booth, but we can go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ with our prayers. You see, He's the mediator, and we are coming to Him, and we are praying through Him, and we must pray in His name. Visiting our tour guide in Rome took us to some different churches along the way of the little tour we had. And one of those churches, this was the oldest church in Rome. I forget the name of it right now, but this was the saint of that church. And I also forget the name of the saint. You'll have to forgive me. Every once in a while, the tour guide would say, have you heard of Saint so-and-so? And have you heard of artist Raphael? And have you heard of this and that? And our kids said, no, no. And finally, he said, where have you been? One of my daughters said, have you heard of George Washington? Have you heard of Abraham Lincoln? Have you heard of John 3:16? You know, but everybody has their own little area of expertise, you know. But here was the saint. And the reason that I bring this picture to you, one of the saddest things we saw was we saw people who were writing out prayers and they were crying and they were giving their prayers to the saint. And the tour guide, who was a graduate of the Vatican University of Art, said, our hope is that the saint will get the prayers up to Jesus. I'm glad that we don't have to pray to a saint. Amen. That's why as Bible-believing Christians, we reject the doctrine that Mary is the co-redeemer of the church. That's why we reject the idea of praying to Mary. I asked someone one time, well, why do you do that? They said, well, Mary gets my prayers up to Jesus. And I said, ma'am, if you were sick, would you go to the doctor or to the doctor's mother? If I'm sick, I want to go to the doctor. And I'm simply saying that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you don't bring your prayers to the mother of Jesus. You bring your prayers straight to the Lord Jesus Himself. He's the mediator. We can pray directly to Jesus Christ. And how we thank God for that. And so we come to Him and we pray in His name. And secondly, we pray for His will to be done. We pray for His will to be done.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We invite you to find out more about our ministry. Let us know that our ministry is touching your life when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources to help you and encourage you in your own spiritual growth. Before we wrap up the program, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Thanks, Carrie. What a blessing to team up together and teach and preach here on Daily in the Word. And I want to thank you for being a part of this ministry. If you have not done so already, I want to ask you to visit dailyintheword.org. As I teach and preach every single day on more than 400 radio stations across America, it's a great joy to hear from people who visit dailyintheword.org, and they just simply click on the little tab that says Contact Us, drop us an email, and let us know what God is doing in their life. We love to hear from listeners like you. If God would let you also click the tab that says Donate and send a gift to this ministry in order that we might continue to pay for the airtime, we would greatly appreciate hearing from you today. That's dailyintheword.org. This is Paul Chappell saying thank you for being faithful to the Lord.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, if you'd like more information about how to trust Christ as Savior, or if you've made that decision during this program, we would love to rejoice with you and send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian life. We would also like to send you a study guide for the current series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. This study guide comes with outlines complete for every lesson in this series. It'll be a great resource for you to refer back to or to pass along to a friend. Again, it's the study guide for Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. We'd like to send it to you this month as a gift when you call or write to us. By the way, we do appreciate if you'd consider a gift to the Ministry of Striving Together. Your gift will help us stay on this station and continue ministering the Word of God. You can contribute to our ministry by visiting dailyintheword.org and clicking on the tab that says Donate. To contact us toll-free and request this resource, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, call us at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you and know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.